Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Walden. My guest today is Devis Romanelli from the Romanelli Winery in the town of Montefalco, which is part of the Sagrantino di Montefalco region in Umbria. Devis, welcome.
Thank you.
A little bit of family history first, please. How did you... You're very young. How old are you?
35.
You don't look, you look like you're 23. Amazing. It must be the Sagrantino, all those antioxidants.
Yes, the effect of Sagrantino and also the extra virgin olive oil, because the area is famous also for the good extra virgin olive
oil. Okay, so your part-time job is also the promotional guy. No, for the region. Okay, so it's obviously a family winery. Just give me a little bit of history of Agricola Romanelli.
Yes, the farm started in 1978. My grandfather and my father. It was a very different farm because it was the typical Italian farm with olive oil, with wine, with cow. It was very mixed. And during the years, changed this system. And now, after around 40 years, we are more specialized and focused in the production of wine and also olive oil.
So how big is the estate in total?
It's 36 hectares.
Okay, how much of that is olives, vineyard and forest? Do you have any forest?
Also I have 2 hectares. 8 hectares is vineyards and 12 is olive tree, and the other there is wheat, corn and other thing. It's earth that will be vineyards in the future.
Right, so 8 hectares is, I think, always a nice comfortable size for a vineyard. Is it difficult economically though? Is it too small, or do you make money from that?
No, I think depend to the job, to the objective. But I think for my idea of the wine, I work organic and I work every single vineyards in very specific and different system. So is a dimension where I can check all the situation. I think the limit for one person is around 10 hectares for have the control of all.
So which village are you in?
I'm in San Clemente, a very little city near of the center of Montefalco.
So you're right in the middle of the region. Now, what is the terroir like there? Soil type, altitude?
The soil type is clay, like the big part of Montefalco area. The clay soil is more adapt for Sagrantino in particular. It's the northeast part of Montefalco area.
Is that a cooler area, warmer area, or a normal area?
No, usually it's a little bit more cold because it's open to north, and there is the big valley down Montefalco, and there is a lot of wind from north, the tramontana wind that is typical from the area, but in my position is very strong sometimes. But it's a very good help for the cultivation because it's a dry wind, it's a fresh wind, so also for the grapes it's very interesting.
So also, is that better for disease prevention as well? Does that help you with diseases, having a nice wind coming through?
Yes, of course. It's a good thing for the passito, the wind, because we can do passito by natural dryet. And it's a good thing because we are one of the farm that make the harvest of Sagrantino more late in the area. One is because the area is a little bit more cold, so all is a little bit on late. Two, because I think the keys about Sagrantino is make the harvest more late than is possible for a more balanced, elegant wine.
So you really are still a mixed farm though, aren't you? It wasn't as mixed as it was probably before you were born, but you still have several crops. So there is a bit of biodiversity there. You say you have cereals. So the cereal crops you have, are they used for pasta? What do the grains go for? Do they make bread, pasta?
Yes, of course, but more bread. For pasta, probably there is some different type of wheat, some different type of soil. But for bread was very used. But usually in this area, the people that make crop do for the animal
feed. So let's just go through your range. So in terms of white wine, you make a Grechetto. Is that 100% Grechetto?
It's 100% Grechetto. Is the type of Grechetto named G5 that is typical from this area.
G5 sounds like a pop group.
The vulgar name is Grechetto from Todi, because the typical area is from Montefalco to Todi, where there is the more biggest production, and it's very different to the Grechetto that is on the base of Orvieto DOC.
So what's the difference in taste?
It's very different grapes completely. The normal size of G5 is half of the other type of lecheto.
In terms of the size of the berry?
The size of the grapes, the size of the berry, and also the strongness of skin that is very hard in Giugiaro. So it's a very little grapes, very compact, but with very hard skin.
So the thick skin probably is good also for organics. It's resistant, disease resistant.
Yes.
But what about when you press it? Is that quite difficult?
It's necessary. I think my idea is the work in the vineyards have to be near of a red grapes, because this hard skin is also very rich in tannin. For a white wine should be a little bit dangerous, so need the perfect maturation like red grapes. And after we press very soft, I think it's not this is the maximum we can obtain from the skin.
Okay, so your other white wine is Spoletino.
Yes.
Trebbiano Spoletino. Tell me a little bit about Spoletino.
It's completely different grapes. The grape is very big, is long, sometimes...
Well, the berry is long, is it?
The grappolo. The grappolo.
So it's a long bunch.
It's a very long bunch. Wings.
Has wing, a wing... with two wings, one either side?
No, also more sometimes.
Three, really?
Five, six, a lot of... it's very long, and at the end, sometimes it's...
It makes a fork.
Yeah, sometimes also three.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Also, to see is fantastic.
And is it nice to eat? If you're in the vineyard picking, can you? Is it nice to eat?
Not much, because the acidity is very high in these grapes, and the sugar usually is not really high. That is good from the area, because it's the only one that have this character. Usually in this area, all the grapes make a lot of power, a lot of sugar, but Spoletino is completely different. I prefer Spoletino on the plain.
On the flatter ground?
Yeah.
Why?
Because can preserve the acidity. Don't go up with sugar, so we can wait the late maturation, because it's a late grapes.
You can wait for flavor ripeness without worrying about having too much sugar ripeness and getting wines with too much alcohol.
Yes, sometimes in the warm season in the hill have some problem of concentration of stress, also because with a very big grapes with a lot of leaves, because it's a
vigorous variety,
need water, and when a warm season should be very stressed. So I prefer, I have my vineyards on the plain. It's the only one type of grapes that you can cultivate it in the plain.
On the flat land, without getting too much disease problems.
It's very interesting, because the old vineyards is on the plain. No, not on the hill. In the hill, we have just the red grapes. The old vineyards of Trebbiano Spoletino, I have one that is around 100 years old, is on the plain.
So Spoletino vineyard from 100 years old, amazing.
It's have a very particular system of cultivation, because was married with a tree.
Oh, promiscuous culture.
Yeah, so when you plant the vine, you plant also a tree. It's used the acero campestre, maple.
Maple,
But it's a type of maple that is very little. So it can develop it together. So the vine use the maple for develop the structure.
To grow up.
But it was very interesting, because the idea from the people that plant this 100 years ago was have the grapes 2 or 3 meters from the soil. Because you can use the soil for have corn and other things. So in the same space, you can do 2 different cultures.
Well, yeah, you have the maple, you have the grapes, and then you have the cereal crop.
And down every year, so you can plant different things.
Yeah, very clever.
And it's interesting also that these grapes on the plain don't have problem. Don't have problem with fungus, don't have problem with the botrytis.
Is that because they're higher up, though? They're a little bit above the ground.
One is this, but I have also another vineyards that is more youngest, with a Guyot, more normal system, and it's the same. It's the character of the grapes. It's very resistant. In fact, you don't find on the plain red grapes, or if you find bad red grapes, but the Trebbiano Spoletino is fantastic.
Okay, tell me a little bit about a Grechetto.
Yes, Grechetto is different, of course, different size, different structure, also the grapes, but the wine is a wine, I think, have a lot of personality. It's not a wine that developed too much on the nose, also with the aging, but is a wine with a very good potential of aging. But I think the more interesting character is on the mouth. Have a very good body.
Do you think Grechetto is almost like a red wine grape?
Like grapes, yes. Like wine, no, because the vinification change the balance. But like grapes, when I make the tasting of the grapes before for the decide the correct moment for make the harvest, the only one that have a similar level of tannin that Sagrantino is Grechetto.
So it's a very tannic grape variety.
Yeah.
So even
yes, because the
variety.
Skin is very hard.
When you pick the Grechetto, do you like it to be a little bit underripe or a little bit overripe or perfectly ripe?
I try to arrive to the perfect moment. But if it's not possible, I prefer a little bit more mature.
And when you press, do you press hard? Do you press slow?
No, it's necessary very slow and soft.
To avoid
also the contact have to be very, very light. The skin, because sometimes you can extract too much because it's very rich.
And if you extract too much, what does the wine taste like?
It's also interesting, but need more time for being balanced.
Does it become a bit bitter or not?
Yeah, sometimes Grechetto, in fact, when Grechetto is not perfect in balance from the grapes, sometimes I have bitter and it's out of balance. This is the question.
Is it easy to ferment, though, Grechetto?
Usually, yes. We don't have problem for fermentation.
And what about aromas? Is it very aromatic?
No, it's not aromatic grapes. You can have some fruit, yellow fruit. You can have almond. You can have honey.
And for the Spoletino?
Spoletino is completely another word. It's opposite grapes, also opposite wine. Because it's a wine that I think the best character is on the nose. The potential of evolution of this nose. I think it's a wine that is better wait around minimum 1 year.
So 1 year in the bottle?
I make 18 months.
So after 18 months, Spoletino in the bottle, what does it taste like? What are we looking for in terms of aroma and flavor?
It's fantastic because you find herbs like sage, rosemary, but...
You have such a big smile on your face talking about this. Your face is just lit up.
Yeah.
You really like it, don't you?
No, yes. Also because, okay, they have the herbs, but when it's a little bit more young, have a lot of agrumes.
Citrus fruits.
Thank you. But anytime you can feel the sea.
Oh, salty.
Yeah.
Briny almost.
Yeah, it's incredible. On the nose and on the taste.
So what's a good food for that then?
Depends to the interpretation. My Trebbiano Spoletino is made with 40-50 days with the skin, so also in the mouth is a very complex wine. It's not oxidated because I don't like oxidated wine, but the level of acidity and pH is very good for make the skin contact.
So pH is the acid strength of the wine
and protect the wine to the
from
during
oxidation.
this period.
So you're making like a quote orange wine, but you don't want it to be really,
but it's not orange,
really disgusting and funky and horrible. So you 40 days on the skins. So what color does it must pick up? Some
a little
color.
Bit gold.
Okay,
little
so greeny gold.
If I do the same in Grechetto, probably will be brown, I think, because the character, the acidity and pH is completely different.
So you've pressed it and you fermented it. You leave it 40 days on skins. Cold or warm? What temperature?
The normally is ambient
temperature.
Yeah, that is late grapes, so the harvest is the last week of October.
So probably about 12, 14 degrees.
November and December is the maceration, so it should be around 10 degrees.
Oh, even colder, okay.
Yeah.
But it's not a funky wine. It's a very clean...
Yes, it's very clean. And about pairing, I think the best pairing for this style of Trebbiano Spoletino is ham.
Ham.
Italian ham.
Prosciutto.
Prosciutto. I prefer the Umbrian prosciutto that is salty, but also Parma ham should be very good.
Do you age your Spoletino skin contact wine in wood or...?
Not wood, because the skin contact adds a lot of structure in the wine and a lot of complexity, so the wood, I think the wine don't grow up. I prefer wait the wine with the yeast for the next 8 months. And go in the bottle usually 1 year before sell.
Do you do malolactic fermentation on the white, on the skin contact white?
Yeah, usually make the... Because another character of Trebbiano Spoletino is that the alcohol is low, because the sugar is low, in particular on the plane.
Acidity level is high, presumably.
Yes, but during the maceration, the wine developed naturally also the malolactic fermentation.
So it does malolactic on skins?
Yeah.
Amazing, white wine.
Yeah. Not one time... I separated the skin, that the malolactic is not done.
Interesting.
No.
Do other people do that in this region? I've never heard of anybody doing that with Spoletino in this region, skin contact, malolactic on the skins.
I don't know. I don't know that there is probably Paolo Bea that make with the skin, of course, but I don't know if there is any other that have this long time of skin contact.
For your Grechetto and the Spolitini, do you do a single vineyard one, like a cru wine from either of those two?
Yeah, Trebbiano. About Grechetto is two vineyards blended. About Trebbiano Spolitino, I am trying different soil. Now I have one vineyard, but I am trying different soil in different system of cultivation of these grapes in the old vineyards. I am finding all the old vineyards I can find for try different soil and have this different experience.
So you're going to try and buy some grapes in as well from other growers or not?
But usually I don't buy, but I prefer bring the vineyards.
So you want to buy the vineyards?
No, not buy, rent. Okay. Rent. Before buy, I have to rent and try.
Okay, let's talk about your red wine. So you make a Montefalco Rosso and a Riserva, and you make your Sagrantina. So let's just start with the basic Montefalco Rosso. What is the blend?
The blend is Sangiovese and Sagrantino, and I use also Merlot and a little part of Cabernet Sauvignon for complete the blend.
Okay, and is that oaked or unoaked?
Depends on the season. A few years ago, I was used oak in a whole Montefalco Rosso, but I think in particular for Sangiovese, depend to the vineyards, to the clone, because I have four different clones of Sangiovese. So depend to the character of the clone in a particular vintage. Every year I decide if a part go in the hook or go in the hook or no one go in the hook is possible.
And you make a cru, don't you? Montefalco single vineyard wine.
Yes, this is a very similar blend to the other Montefalco Rosso, but Molinetta, this is the name of...
Molinetta.
Molinetta.
A Molinetta, is a little windmill.
Yeah, perfect. It's the only one vineyards I don't have in the main hill where there is the center of the farm. Is in the hill in front, but the soil is completely different. In the main hill we have clay soil. In the Molinetta vineyards we have sandy clay soil. So the quantity of sand is more right, and it's very interesting because Sangiovese usually in the clay is very rich grapes, make very big grapes also. In the sandy soil the size of the grapes is half with the same clone, but it's half. So change the proportion with the skin, change the maturation, and usually make wine that is very rich, so I wait 5 years before sell.
And you age at an oak?
Yes, and this wine all is done, make the 2 years minimum in the oak and 2 years minimum in the bowl.
So that's the Montefalco Rosso cru. What about the Sagrantino?
Sagrantino is the main grapes, very interesting grapes, very rich, sometimes too much rich, but this is our job.
Your challenge?
Yeah.
La sfida.
Yes. I think that is grapes that is incredible. But my idea in Sagrantino is developed more the elegance than the concentration, because it's a wine and it's a grapes that have a lot of structure itself. It's not necessary work for find more concentration. I prefer work more in the elegance.
How are you doing that in the vineyard and in the winery to get that elegance and delicacy rather than this huge big lump of red tannin that
I think the my way is wait more than is possible for the harvest.
So later picking?
Usually I am the last one or one of two, three winery that make the harvest more late, sometimes also in November.
Does that help though that you said earlier on that you have a cooler site? You get these cooling winds.
Yeah.
So you get very slow, presumably very slow maturation.
This is very, very important, but...
Do you get seed ripeness though?
This is the question. Is wait the phenolic maturation, try the seeds, try the skin, and understand when the tannin is perfect mature. Because when Sagrantino have the perfect mature tannin, this tannin is fantastic. The challenge is have the perfect maturation. So we have to wait.
So when you go into the vineyard in autumn, and it's probably, I imagine in the morning, it's quite foggy, and you get some wind, and you're going out, I assume, you're eating a lot of grapes and crunching them and chewing them and spitting
yes.
them out. So what are you looking for? Are you looking for brown pips, dark colored?
It's very important, yeah.
Is, and the skins?
Before I check the skins, that is it's important, it's like coffee, the same color.
Coffee beans.
And after I taste the skin. Sometimes it's not perfect correspondent, these two parameters, but check, it's necessary to check both for understanding is if the correct maturation. So with this we can have very mature grapes, so in the cellar is very easy.
But you're not looking for overripe grapes, are you?
No, I ate the overripe grapes because when the grapes is overripe, I think we lost the character, the identity of a terroir, the identity of a grapes, because the too much mature grapes is the same around the world.
So you pick the grapes by hand, you take them into the winery, then what happens? Do you de-stem?
I put out the stem, and after all it's very simple, it's very easy, because with the mature grapes not too much thing is to do in the cellar, just check the fermentation, and I do 2 months of skin contact also in Sagrantino.
So how long, when you do the fermentation, do you prefer a quick fermentation or a slow fermentation? Do you manage the fermentation, the alcoholic fermentation?
I prefer the clean fermentation, very stable, because long skin contact is very important, that the fermentation is very regular, not too much fast, but not too much slow, because can do some problem of volatile
acidity, yeah. Vinegar.
Also because where there is this condition is difficult that the wine have problem of reduction during the skin contact. So I can make 2 months. That is sometimes it's not easy, but it's a very interesting way for developing better the character of Sagrantino and the wine.
What kind of tanks do you have?
Steel.
Big or small?
It's small. The more biggest is 50 hectoliters.
So that would hold 6,000 bottles. That is quite small.
Sorry?
That is quite small. How high do you fill the tanks though?
Depend to the quantity I have, because I have also more little tank. Sometimes when I have, for example, a 30 hectoliter tanks, I bring the wine and use this wine for
to top up
the other. But for example, when I make the crew in the best vintage, I can do this job. I can blend 2 different wines, so I use nitrogen for. But the last 3 years, I try to close the tank before and the fermentation. So inside, we can have the carbonic from the fermentation, and it's perfect. It's perfect job. It's necessary to check the correct moment, because it can explode the tank, but it's okay.
But when do you close it? How early on in the fermentation do you close the tank? You mean you wait until the furious part of the fermentation is over and then you close, or do you close the tank a little bit earlier than that?
A little bit before the end of the ferment.
So right, when you're in your density, what, you'd be 10, 20 or something?
Usually when I close, there is less of 10 grams of sugar.
So pretty much near the end.
But developed not too much, but again developed slowly, a little bit carbonic, so it's a good help.
So when you're during the, if we rewind a little bit, what are you doing for extract? Are you pumping over?
I make delestage.
Delestage is basically when you drain off some fermenting juice or wine from the tank and then put it back over the top.
Yeah, one per day during the fermentation.
So I always think delestage can be quite an extractive process, because it originated in Bordeaux. Defend yourself.
Really, I use delestage because for my objective is have more
aeration.
Yes, the oxygen is very important
to avoid
for
reduction.
Regular fermentation. So I can do the long skin contact.
And it also helps the yeast that you're giving them a bit of oxygen so they can keep going.
Yeah, this is the question, because the yeast for have a good fermentation, need of good grapes, of course, but need also oxygen for don't have problem or reduce the problem.
So this idea of making something that is homogenous but obviously complex, that's what you're trying to do, isn't it? You're trying to make sure you have this very homogenous fermentation where you get a lot of complexity. You get all of the complexity out of the grapes that you've obviously got from the vineyard to make sure that all of that potential complexity is transmitted into the wine. That's the idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're the kind of person as a winemaker that if you had to become a chef, if I was on a desert island and I was stuck on a desert island with a few guys and we interviewed everyone, said, right, what are you good at? So he's good at making fire. This guy's very good at making rope and tying knots. You would be the chef. You would be the chef. Absolutely. Even if you'd never cooked, I say, right, you know what? This guy's never boiled an egg before. This guy is the guy. He's going to be the chef.
Yes.
Because he knows what he's doing. He can see how things work, and he can be very analytical and very creative. And even if it's just a boiled egg on a hot piece of stone, you'd make a fantastic egg.
Perfect.
Okay, you're too modest to say yes.
Perfect.
But... So do we get the name of the two crews though? That's important. You make these two crew wines, site specific wines.
Yes, it's for Sagrantino. We have Montefalco Sagrantino that we produce every year, and the crew is named Medeo. That is the name of my grandfather. We produce Medeo just in the best vintage. Really, we start to make this wine only in 2011. And that is the year where my grandfather died. And but is the years also where born my first child. So all the, and it was a very good vintage. So I chose to divide this part of the vineyards because it's not a different vineyards. It's the same vineyards. We have just one vineyards of Sagrantino. It's 3 hectares where we make Montefalco Sagrantino, where we make Medeo in the best vineyards, and where we make also Passito of Sagrantino.
So let's hear about the Passito.
Passito is very interesting.
Does that have a name, a special name as well or not?
No, the Passito is named just Montefalco Sagrantino Passito because I have 3 names, so I think it's okay. And it's very interesting wine. I think it's very unique wine, sweet wine. But what wine in general, because called Sagrantino Passito sweet wine, I think is not correct way for understand. The wine. It's completely different wine to the normal sweet wine because it's the only one I think have tannin. It's sweet at the start, but it's very dry to the end. In fact, the normal pairing, the best pairing for me, is not with dessert. Is with meat, is with liver, with lamb, because the start is very sweet for more of 100 grams of sugar, but at the end there is the high acidity and the very green tannin we obtain from early harvest. We bring the grapes for Passito 1 month before that the grapes for dry
Sagrantino
for have more green tannin, more high acidity, because have to balance the sweetness.
Is that quite unusual? Because you would think that most people would say, right, if we're going to make a Sagrantino red and then a Sagrantino red Passito, so we go and pick the red wine Sagrantino, and then maybe a few weeks later when the berries are a little bit drier, we're going to pick them and then we're going to dry them even further indoors. And you're saying, no, I do it the other way around. I pick my Passito grapes before my normal red wine grapes.
Yes.
Do people think you're a little bit mad, or do they think you've got a good idea?
My choice is because I use a different type of soil. In this vineyards, I have 3 different soil. So for Passito, I use the more humid soil. So the humid soil should be sometimes a little problem for the perfect maturation. So for dry Sagrantino, I prefer the other soil, a little bit more dry it, because the maturation should be better. For Passito is perfect because acidity is more right and tannin is a little bit more green. I make the harvest half week of September usually, and I put the grapes on the racks for 2 months in the more windy area of my farm. So after, in the normal vintage, it's very easy to make the drying process that usually is around 2 months in the normal climate, but with natural process should be more fast or more slowly.
So when you're pressing the obviously by now dried Sagrantino grapes for your Passito, in terms of numbers, in terms of say malic acidity and tartaric acidity and sugar, what are we talking about?
But usually the acidity usually is high, the sugar is very high, so it's very complex fermentation.
So high sugar, high acidity.
Yeah, because the content of wine, of potential wine, is near of a half of a normal grapes.
So you're losing 50% of volume potentially.
Yeah. Also, when we press, it's difficult to obtain
the juice.
The juice, yes.
Because the berries are so shriveled.
Yeah. So there is also some technical problem for a pump this wine with the skin and press, really, because sometimes we do the separation of the stems and sometimes the grape go with the stem. So we have to bring back and try again.
Because it's so shriveled and dried.
Yeah, because it's too dry. But also the grapes is very cold when arrive in the cellar because we press usually in December, and with natural process the grapes is around 5 degrees, 6 degrees. So after the start of fermentation is very hard, it's very slowly. So we have 2, 3, 4 days for wait the start of fermentation, and for the producer is very apprehensive days.
Yeah, because you can get volatile acidity and
yes,
vinegar. Yeah.
And this other stress moment is the end of the fermentation, because there is a moment where there is a good content of alcohol around 13.5, but very high content of sugar.
So what are we talking high? 100 grams per liter sugar?
More.
140?
I think my idea of Passito is the correct end of fermentation is alcohol 14, 15 and sugar around 100.
Okay.
120. This is the balance that usually I like. But the last part of fermentation, when the alcohol is near of 13.5 and the sugar is high, is very stressed for the yeast, because there is a moment where the alcohol is a little bit toxic for the yeast, and also the sugar combined with the alcohol makes toxic effect. So in the end of December, near Christmas, the winery is very cold, and is another stress for the yeast. So we have to help with a little bit of warm.
So how do you do that? You have you shut the door, or you put a little heater in there?
It's very difficult because the quantity is too low for use the modern technology. So we use all that is possible for make this. I remember one time I bring there is people that add the light a fire, make the passito where there is the fire. For help.
Well, inside the house?
Inside the house. So for help this part, I use some...
A coil, yeah. Yeah, in the old days, you could probably bring... If you did it in a stable, you could bring the animals in, because they give off a lot of heat.
And the cow make more warm also the floor up.
Yeah, for the people sleeping above. So what's interesting about your approach is you've really thought things through very logically, and in some cases you're going against received wisdom, but you really do have a plan and you know what you're doing. I mean, do some of the older producers here think that you are being very clever and very creative? I think you are. Or do they think, oh, this young guy, he doesn't know what he's doing, he's got his vineyards in a strange place, he's doing all these strange things?
Okay, this is a mental process of the people about me. I start my first vintage. When I started with my first vintage, I was 24 years old. When you speak with 24 years old guys, you think, okay, it's too young, probably too stupid for make good wine. In particular, when I make my second vintage, 2008, because it was completely different to the normal idea of Sagrantino. At this time, the Sagrantino was very dark, very concentrated, very tannic. So 2008 my 2008 was completely different, very, very elegant, not dark on the color, very low color, very complex on the nose with roots, something that the people usually don't feel in Sagrantino. So sometimes the people or think, wow, what is fantastic wine, or think, okay, what is this? The Sagrantino is not possible. This is the idea. Now, luckily, the general idea is changed, because I, but also the producer, work for search more the elegance and the complexity in these incredible grapes, not just the concentration. So the general idea now is changed, and a lot of people love this idea about. But really, be young and with a different wine when I start was not easy.
Do you think you'll take on more vineyards or not? Do you have enough vineyard, or would you like to have some more vineyards?
At the moment, no. At the moment, I want no better my vineyards, because there is an incredible varieties of different soil and different situation that I would like understand better. And like the crew, I want to try something different for different vineyards in different situations. So I love to do this. Just the Trebbiano Spoletino is the only one I had the last 3 years in my production, because before Trebbiano Spoletino was not made it in my area, but it's a grapes too interested for don't try to.
Okay, so it's too interesting to resist. Is there one, if you had the time and the money, is there another type of wine you'd like to make here? You don't want to make a Chardonnay, I'm sure you're not interested in that, but
no.
I mean, if I gave you the manpower and the money and the space in the winery to make one more wine that wasn't a Spoletino, that wasn't a Sagrantino, what would you, and a wine from this area, what would you choose?
I like, for example, a lot Gamay from Trasimeno. That is Grenache, it's not Gamay, but was named like this. But a grapes that is borderline, is not totally Umbria. The big production is in Marche, and I love is Verdicchio.
Yeah.
One of the most interesting grapes from the center of Italy. There is also, I find last year, some very old pecorino vine married, like the Berno Spoletino, in the his part of Umbria, near of Norcia, in Preci, and it was very old vines of pecorino. And if I am trying to bring a little bit of these grapes for understand what happened with the pecorino in this area, because it's in the mountain, it's not on the hill or in the plain, but it's real in the mountain, a very particular microclimate, but the vines is very old, so.
So it's white wine grape pecorino.
Yes, it's one white grapes, very diffused in the in Umbria, but not too much, because just in this part of mountain, but in the other part of mountain there is the Marche region, and the most famous area for production of pecorino.
So I want to say thank you to my guest today, Devis Romanelli from the Romanelli Winery. Anybody that's interested in Sagrantino, Montefalco region, Spoletino, really needs to visit this winery, because what Devis is doing is incredibly interesting and I think groundbreaking, and it sounds like it's the future of these wines, because people want wines that have intensity, but they are increasingly changing against, don't want wines that are really, really tannic and really, really tough. And I think what you've described today is, through your approach, is really, really joined up viticulture, the wine growing side, and joined up winemaking. And it's great to hear that you're doing that, and also you're very young, and having interviewed you, I'm very optimistic about the future of this region. Well done.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.